Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you and for this just a special time to get our hearts and our lives ready for Christmas here. And I decided to do a meditation today, so I got the chair out. I don't know if you can see me or not, but hopefully you can hear me. It's always enjoyable hearing the kids sing, isn't it? Rob and I were commenting, though, it's very interesting how it, I counted, and the boys outnumber the girls 2-1. Yeah, what is it? Is this a genetic thing? Can anybody enlighten me as to what's going on? But I guess it also gives us a greater appreciation for our Sunday school teachers, because boys are a lot harder to take care of than girls, aren't they? And I know at times it's a challenge. Well, that's good. Well, today I just share a few thoughts about getting our hearts ready for Christmas. 2 weeks ago, Sandy and I went down to Iowa. All our kids are in that area. This was the year we kind of alternate that our kids are going to be with their in-laws. And so we celebrated Thanksgiving at Christmas at the same time. So we had 4 wonderful days together, and it was very enjoyable. Met at our son's in Des Moines, Iowa. And while we were there, a lot of time was spent eating and hanging out and watching some football and other things, but it was very enjoyable. What interesting, though, was on Thanksgiving, of course, the Des Moines Register was delivered to the house, and of course, it had a stack of ads in there, probably that thick. And so they were, my kids and my daughters-in-law were going through all the ads, and they were scattered all over the living room floor, and it was just this mountain. This huge mountain of ads. And they were talking about my 2 daughters-in-law wanted to go out at midnight and to get some deals, you know. And then my son-in-law also, he was going to go to Walmart. Their camera had died during the year, and so the camera was less than half price. And so he was going to go at midnight. So we were kind of intrigued talking about this. And, you know, it's just kind of amazing how, you know, Christmas has taken on a very commercial atmosphere about it. In fact, it's called, you know, Black Friday. And so as I was looking at that, thinking about it, it kind of hit me, you know, that something's changing in our society. In fact, Sandy and I, we spent 3 years in Berlin, Germany, and from 2005 to 2008. And when we came back, many times when you step out of your country, you have a thing called culture shock. And you experience things where when you're kind of immersed in an area, you don't see things. And when you step out of them and you step back in, all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's true. And so you notice things more. And one of our areas of culture shock was this whole thing called Black Friday. And we went over to the Twin Cities and we were watching the news, and the whole news was all about the stores and all about purchasing. And we were just kind of amazed. We thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's happening? You know, this wasn't the way it was. And maybe, you know, I started to think and reminisce about my growing up. When I was young, My mother would always take my sister and I and some friends, and we'd ride the bus, and we'd ride down into downtown Minneapolis, and we would go to the big department stores. That was Dayton's and Donaldson's, and they were, you know, big buildings about 12 stories high in downtown Minneapolis, and we would ride the escalators on every floor. There was, you know, 12 floors, and on every floor they had Christmas displays, and on the top floors they had areas, and the floor was covered with train sets and displays with Christmas, and it was a delightful time. And then we'd go out to a movie. We'd watch a Christmas movie like Babes in Toyland. Probably, I'm getting blank looks. Did anybody ever see Babes in Toyland? A few, you know. But, you know, it was really a magical time, but it was just, I don't know, special. Well, you know, for us, this Black Friday was, it just seemed different. And so when my son-in-law got back the next day, I kind of debriefed with him about his experience at Walmart. He said, yeah, it was very interesting going in there. And he said, you know, there's been some bad situations just with the intensity of the sales and people wanting to fight over the sales on these, you know, Black Friday times. And so he said, yeah, it was very interesting. They had pallets all around the store. So they didn't have a door rush because they've had trouble in the past. But he said it was kind of sad just, you know, observing people and just really desperate to be the first ones there. And actually there's been some incidents, and you probably have heard about them over the last few years because of this. And there was a guy that was commenting, Dr. Greg Jantz in the Huffington Post, said this. He was writing column. He says, don't sell your soul for a good shopping deal this Christmas. And then he goes on to describe two of the incidents this year. He said, society doesn't seem so civil anymore. Black Friday this year has given a black eye to the start of the official holiday season, a season that used to be associated with the phrase, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Apparently, peace and goodwill stop at the doors of Walmart and Target. On Black Friday, a woman in Los Angeles decided her need for a discounted Xbox game console was so great that it necessitated pepper spraying her fellow shoppers. Can you imagine, you know, getting one up and pulling out the pepper spray and shooting your fellow shoppers? You know, it's amazing. And then on the other side of the country, in West Virginia, a 61-year-old man suffered an apparent heart attack while shopping for some price-to-move Christmas decorations at a Target store. By some reports, as he lay slumped in the aisle, people continued to walk around and even over him on their way to whatever bargain they were hunting. An ER nurse and an off-duty paramedic eventually came to his aid, but unfortunately the man died at the hospital. You know, it's kind of amazing, isn't it, to think about, you know, the pull of a good deal. And so, you know, as I was looking at this and reflecting on it, I was just really challenged, and God just kept bringing to my heart a verse. And this verse, just over the next few days, kept coming up. It's in the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And Jesus, the context was there were two men. One man came up to him and said, Master, have my brother divide the inheritance with me. And so they were having a squabble over inheritance. Now, if you've lived very long, you'll have experienced this, you know, because inheritances can get tough. We're talking about money and wanting fairness, and that's what was going on. It was very interesting how Jesus responded to this man. He told the crowd, he said, beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And I couldn't help but, you know, as I thought about that, reflect on Black Friday and just how the world almost gives the opposite of that message, doesn't it? It's pounded to us over and over. In fact, I read some stats this year that on Black Friday this year, over 200 million shoppers went out. I figured out that's 61% of every man, woman, and child in the U.S. And they spent $52 billion. That's more in one day than a lot of the gross national products of a lot of countries around the world. It was up 9% this year, you know, because, again, there's this huge focus. And so as I was thinking about this, it challenged my heart, challenged my thinking, and I had to ask myself, Dave, am I falling into the mindset of the world? Am I conforming to the world? And just, you know, is my heart, and it's very easy to, you know, be looking for the next deal, and there's nothing wrong with the good deal. There's nothing wrong with buying things, but it can consume us, and the world says consume us. The world says, your life consists in the abundance of your possession. And Jesus said, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Now, you know, again, what was he saying there? What does he mean by your life doesn't consist of your possessions? Well, I think he's saying there is at the core of our life, at what life is about, the essence of life, is not just about possession. Now, obviously, that's a part of it. There's a lot that goes into living, isn't there? There's a lot to it. But at the core of it, what makes us valuable, what makes us successful, what gives satisfaction at the core is not our possessions. Now, it also, you know, when he says this and makes this comment, it begs the question, well, what is? What does our life consist of? What does our life consist of? And so I had to ask myself that. And Jesus didn't answer that. That wasn't his purpose. But I started to reflect on it, and it was just encouraging to see. And really what I came down to was what life consists of, what makes it valuable and of worth, is a relationship. And that is that God wants to have a relationship with us. And really, that's what the Christmas story is all about. Is about God desiring and working to have a relationship with his people. That's why he created us in the first place. That was his goal in making this world and everyone in it. Was that he, as a being, made us in his image. And he wanted and he desires to have a relationship with us. I was reading this week in the Daily Faith Walkers. John Meyer had a good Faith Walkers this week, and he was talking about this. He said, God's desire is that we would belong to him. We are part of him. He is your calling. It is important that we understand our salvation this way. We say, I'm saved, so why did God save you? He did save you so that you could be forgiven. Yes, he did. He did save you so that some big theological things like justification and sanctification could happen. Yes, that's also true. But ultimately, why did he save you? Because he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you. That's what salvation is all about. That's what creation, the cross, eternity is all about. It's about God wanting a relationship with you. And I believe that that's really at the core of the essence of our life. And you know, that's really what the story of Christmas is that God desires that relationship with us, but that you and I are not born in that condition where we can have a relationship with him. Because tragically, when he set up the world, he had to do it this way. He had to create us with a will. He had to create a being that could enter into that relationship willingly and of our own desire and not be forced on us. And so that's the story in the Garden of Eden, is that God created us in that way. And so what happened with Adam and Eve is that they chose to rebel against God. They sinned against him, and because he's a holy God, he had to separate himself from them. And so then that passed on. It says it passed on from our forefathers to us. And so that every person today is born with the tendency to sin and rebel. And so because God is holy, we aren't born in that condition of having a relationship with God. And that's where the Christmas story kicks in, is that God, in his love, in his desire to get back to his original intent, what he did was an amazing thing, an astounding thing, is that God took on human flesh. God invaded this world. He invaded and he came and lived among us as a person. It's almost hard to fathom that. The eternal God, the one that created everything we see and all we know, came to this earth and lived as a human being. That's wild. That's the incarnation. That's the story of Christmas that we continue to celebrate. And he did that because, he wanted us to know him. He wanted to experience what it's like so he would know us, not just in an intellectual way, but in an experiential way. But he also had a huge and important mission, and that was to die, to pay the penalty for our sin. And at the end of his life, he said, "For this was I born, this came into the world, to be a king." And so he died and paid the penalty for our sin. And as a result, he covered the sins and the rebellion of our lives. That's why when the angels came and they announced the good news, it was good news. And people rejoiced when they heard it, because God was offering salvation. He said, "For he will save his people from their sins." And what wonderful news that is for us. And that now God was offering Christ as a free gift to all these rebels on this earth. And as a free gift, it is offered to each and every one of us. And really that's where we get, you know, the gift giving at Christmas comes in, is that it's not so much so that we can have, but so we can experience what God experienced, is he gave us and offered to us a free gift, a wonderful free gift. And we give gifts to remember that, to appreciate what he's done. And yet it requires us to respond to that, to accept or reject that gift. And that's all part of it. And so really, God calls us and wants us to have that relationship, but you and I need to respond to that. How we respond to it is by believing. By believing, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Not trying to earn our way back to God, but trusting in what he has done on our behalf. And that's a blow to our pride. We can't do anything to develop a relationship with God in our own efforts. We just can't. And we need to believe. We need to trust in what he's done for us. And that's the story. That's the beautiful story of the gospel. That's the story of Christmas. And if any of you are, we have to respond. And if any of you have never done that, if you've never turned your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, I'd encourage you to do that. You could do that today. It says you will pass from death to life. But it's essential that you call out to God and say, "I need that gift. I need that gift." And for those of you that have done that, God wants you to grow in that relationship. And so really my encouragement today is just for you to do a little soul searching yourself. And first of all, do you have a relationship with God? If not, I beg you, turn your heart, your life, ask God for the, and just say, "I receive that free gift of what your son did for me." And it'll totally revolutionize your life if you do that. For those of you who do, I just encourage you, just like I was challenged, to recognize that life is not composed or doesn't consist of the abundance of my possessions. And, you know, for the last 2 weeks, I've been just continuing to think about that and just made a couple changes in my heart. And I think it'll help me prepare for an excellent Christmas season. And that two things I did was I like talk radio, and so I turned off the radio in my car. And it's just really helped me to think and focus and to get still before God. And then this last Thursday, I spent the whole day in solitude and silence. And I just enjoyed God's presence. And I've given seminars on this, but I do this somewhat regularly. But just to cut out all the voices and the noise of the world and just sit in the presence of God. And it was just a wonderful time. Just very good. And so God wants us to continue to grow in our relationship with him. This morning, again, I don't want to give the impression that it, or that we should feel guilty about giving presents or buying or getting good deals. You know, that's not Jesus' point. We all need things. But many times those things can take a precedence, or they can take a priority that they really shouldn't have in our lives. And I think that God really wants us to say, "Yeah, Lord, you're the essence of life." And really, that's what I want to focus in on this Christmas season, is you. And when we do that, the rest of life takes shape, and it really puts things in proper perspective. So let's pray, and let's ask him to do that. Father, I thank you again. Lord, it's just, again, the Christmas season is very special. And yet, Lord, we even see our society changing and trying to, Lord, cross you out of Christmas. And Christmas trees become holiday trees. And Lord, just in that rebellion of our heart, Lord God, if we're unwilling to believe and accept you, God, it leaves a void in our heart, in our lives. It's got to be filled with something. And yet, Lord, things won't fill that void. God, I pray for each one here. I pray if there's ones here that don't know you, that, Father, they would pass from death to life by receiving the gift of your Son in their hearts. Father, for those that have received you, God, I just pray that, Lord, you'd stir our hearts. Lord, we do some soul searching, and, Father, that we would, again, emphasize and really, Lord, get back to the basic of life, and that's our relationship with you, and we'd enjoy you, and we'd be grateful and thankful for what you did in this world by entering the world and coming and then dying for our sins. And so I pray, God, just a special blessing on each person here this holiday season. In Jesus' name, amen.